Someone once said, to know a language and not the culture is to make a fluent fool of yourself. What is culture? Culture is that which is going down or transmitted from one generation to another. When we talk of culture, cultures differ drastically as per the environment, surroundings, and many other aspects. Culture in this sense includes all forms of non-verbal communication, customs, thoughts, speech, and artifacts that make a group of people unique. Whoever said the statement knew of the significant role that communication plays besides language. Take, for example, clothing. It can indicate a person's culture. It can indicate a person's value system to an extent, beliefs, level of confidence. So, culture plays a very important role in terms of what an individual portrays in terms of himself or herself. While most of the nonverbal communication is conveyed subconsciously, there are cultural similarities that enable us to understand the difference between what is being said and what is actually meant. But generalizing between non-verbal communication between cultures can be tricky, since there are as many cultural differences in non-verbal communication as there are languages in the world. What are we trying to say out here? That, say in a culture, what is portrayed and what you perceive it to be should be similar. If it creates a different thought process or if it creates differences, then ideally it can be confusing or tricky. I just gave an example some slides back when we talk of a thumbs up sign. Generally, a thumbs up sign is taken with a smile and it gives an impression of appreciating, but not necessarily this is applicable to all the cultures. So at times, this can create differences in our thought process and our ability to put forward in another culture and get more confused because we are used to certain non-verbal actions and behavior, and that if there is a difference in terms of culture, it can create miscommunication. While it may take a child a couple of years to speak understandably in a certain language, it is important to remember that the child is also learning the idiosyncrasies of non-verbal communication at the same time. In fact, the first couple of years of a child's life are spent learning most of these non-verbals. The differences between cultures are thus ingrained at the very earliest points of development. Now, what do we mean by the term idiosyncrasies out here? It is a mode of behavior or a way of thought peculiar, it is a mode of behavior or a way of thought peculiar to an individual. So when I say the child is learning idiosyncrasies of nonverbal communication, it is picking up the behavior through its parents. The child is picking up the behavior through his or her parents. When we say a way of thought peculiar to an individual, that means whatever is observed and seen is picked up and then implemented. The differences between cultures are ingrained at the earliest point of development. This also makes us realize that a two-year-old child can easily differentiate the differences in culture. How? Through observation, through the environment, and through the characteristics which are expressed through the people who are in his immediate surrounding. Continuing with nonverbal communication, the effect that eye movement has on human behavior has been widely studied. In some cultures, however, this study actually allows for insights into individuals whose only way of communication is by non-verbal means. Now, we are aware that non-verbal communication is there in all cultures. Non-verbal communication will ideally differ from culture to culture, but certain facial expressions such as anger, happiness, sadness, and fear are more or less the same in all cultures. But we definitely need to understand that non-verbal communication is responsible to a great extent to portray what the individual feels and thinks. Studies show that eye behavior shows special patterns with mental patients, autistic children, and persons from diverse cultures. Autistic children, they find it difficult to actually communicate, but eye contact, behavioral aspects in terms of facial expressions can reveal a lot. Autistic children and persons from diverse cultures. In some countries, doctors use the study of oculexics to study stimulation among patients and interest levels in children who are not as expressive verbally. Now, what is oculexics? It is a technical term for eye contact. For example, in Africa, they avert eye contact since they feel that it is a way of showing respect to elders. In Japan, continuous eye contact can be intimidating. So again, it differs from person to person, and of course, cultural differences occur too as far as eye contact is concerned. Normally, lack of eye contact in many cultures can signal either disinterest or respect depending on the culture. So either disinterest or lack of respect. But this ideally has various thought processes. That means eye contact in certain cultures do reveal that it can be intimidating, that is continuous eye contact. In some of the cultures, it is considered appropriate to have eye contact. So lots of theories in relation to eye contact. People can typically tell individuals who are angry from those who are nervous, from those who are confident by what they do with their eyes. Anger. It is an emotion. When we talk of anger, ideally, you can be angry due to someone's thought process, beliefs, ideas, views. Anger ideally can affect your way of communication and, anger can be expressed in the tone of your voice. When we talk of anger, ideally, it'll show in the facial expressions as well as the tone. Furrowed brows or rolling of the eyes typically constitute impatience, anger, or defiance. Looking down or batting the eyes typifies nervousness. So, how important is the facial expression as far as what a person wants to convey is? So, when we discuss eye contact, when we discuss anger, furrowed brows would ideally express a facial expression which in turn means that the person may be angry or impatient. Looking down or batting the eyes typifies nervousness, while continuing to look at someone and simultaneously shutting the mouth signals compliance with self-confidence. Our self-confidence is revealed a great extent just through our facial expressions. Even without saying a word, your self-confidence can be gauged. So it is extremely important to have an appropriate facial expression. That means smile, for example. It is a universal language. It ideally is the most important facial expression. Appropriate eye contact with one and all. For example, within 5 seconds, you can have eye contact with 12 people sitting in a cabin whom you have to discuss a presentation with. So, it is extremely important that how you portray yourself in terms of your self-confidence, in terms of you being a friendly person, in terms of you probably being able to give instructions and conducting yourself in a manner which is appealing to one and all. When I say appealing, it means in terms of your personality. When I say appealing, it means in terms of your way of speaking. And when I say appealing, it also means in terms of the way you're able to manage the audience. Squarely looking someone in the eye connotes self-confidence. A confident, engaging public speaker instills confidence in his audience. We just discussed this. Continuously looking down while speaking, either one-on-one or publicly, often pervades a feeling of nervousness or lack of confidence. Now, we as individuals need to ask ourselves, why can't we face people or a person one-to-one? Why can't we have appropriate eye contact with the people or the person who is in front of us? Somewhere, we need to do self-introspection. Somewhere we need to understand what is the barrier or inhibition we have as individuals, which makes us ideally not focus while talking to a person one to one. Nonverbal communication is continued. Notice how uncomfortable a person who will not make eye contact with you make you feel. So, for example, if I'm having a one-to-one talk with my colleague, but somewhere I realize my colleague is not probably having eye contact, it'll make me feel my colleague is looking everywhere around except having eye contact with me. Now, no matter how comfortable I may be, somewhere it does not give that feeling either to me or to the other. Either to me or to the opposite person as to why he or she is not having eye contact. Your inhibitions and your barriers need to be looked into. If you as an individual find it difficult to have eye contact, you need to understand that there has to be some solution as to why or for what reason do you behave in this manner. A lot of times it could be our self-confidence. A lot of times it could be lack of enthusiasm or interest. A lot of times it could just be probably being non-interested in a particular topic. And at times it can even mean boredom. But it is a lot to do with our own self-esteem too. Politicians who lie while looking straight into the camera cause many individuals to almost believe them. Up until the teary-eyed truthful press conference. That means, probably if there's a press conference, the way the press is handling, that means if there's a press conference, the kind of questions put forward by the press, the way the politician is answering the questions, does a person become defensive or is the person comfortable answering? A lot of these aspects are looked into. But eye contact or eye behavior can reveal a lot. Oculexics not only studies the person communicating, but the person listening as well. Eye contact of the person listening helps gauge the response. It is very important that the listener is also giving away cues to us. Cues, C-U-E-S. Cues to us as to what he or she feels in terms of thought process while we are interacting. Remember, what we say is less important than how we say it, as words are only 7% of our communication. Understand and enjoy nonverbal communication as it helps forming better first impressions. So, why have we mentioned good luck? It means that this is really one aspect which needs to be focused on. We need to understand that this aspect cannot be overlooked, and a lot of attention needs to be given to this aspect. Alright, now good communication is the foundation of any relation. The ability to connect and understand non-verbal communication is one of the most challenging aspects, because even if we put in our own perceptions, views, ideas to figure out what the other person's facial expressions or posture or body language reveals, at times it can lead to miscommunication. But non-verbal communication too is a powerful tool which connects people from all walks of life. Now let us take these various aspects of nonverbal communication. We start with ways of talking, pauses, stress on words. The way we stress on a word or words in a sentence can actually change the meaning of a sentence. When we talk of sounds, laughing, or when a child is giggling, the sound can probably have a different impact on the human mind. Closeness, invading someone's space. Have you ever felt that your space has been invaded? That means, for example, when you're at your workplace, do you feel that the person is standing too close or is at a distance and you can't hear the person? Space, ideally, is one of the crucial aspects. When we talk of space, we talk of distance. The distance depends on the situation, the person, as well as the place. So where are you? Whom are you talking to? What is the kind of interaction you are having with a person? All these are very important aspects. Then let us talk of body contact. For example, shaking hands. A firm handshake reveals a lot about a person. When we talk of a firm handshake, it ideally also reflects on the posture and it shows the person's level of confidence. Facial expression, a frown. For example, if my colleague is frowning, maybe my colleague is too tired. But for my director, he would probably understand that he's disinterested or not interested in work as of now. So, it can be misinterpreted. It can be misunderstood, or as we discussed before, perceptions and our own thought processes can create thought processes about another individual as to how he or she reacts. Then we talk of posture, a slouching posture. When you talk of a slouching posture, or probably when you talk of a posture where your hands and legs are closed, it means probably there could be anxiety. A slouching posture may reflect on your level of confidence, which probably may not be there, or lack of confidence, since it is reflecting in your posture. Then you talk of appearance. Not taking appropriate care in terms of your dress sense, in terms of your hair, it probably means that I don't care. For example, if you wear wrinkled clothes or if you're not keeping yourself tidy, then it reflects on you. Without you speaking or saying anything, a lot of cues or hints are given away about you as an individual. Even if you as an individual are not, even if you as an individual are always concerned, but it can be one of those days where you've not really taken care of yourself in terms of appearance, then too, it'll reflect on you. Head movements, for example, nodding, hand movements, waving, eye movements, winking. Winking is when we are probably deliberately closing one eyelid. An example here will be A is winking at B because A is making fun of C in the presence of B. So probably you could just be passing a comment or making fun or cracking a joke at somebody who's right in front of you, and you're giving a cue or hint to the other person that you're making a mockery out of the situation and that person. Non-verbal communication can happen when the person wanting to convey a message decides to employ gestures, eye contact, body touch, time interval, charts, and body language instead of or in addition of words. Now, all these are ways and means of expressing yourself without words. And all these are probably in a manner which may be knowingly or unknowingly done. So we need to understand that since words only convey 7%, a lot of our behavior is gauged and observed through non-verbal communication. Gestures. The term is kinesics or kinesics. What do we mean by this? This term was used by anthropologist Ray Birdwhistell. He ideally wished to understand and study how people communicate through postures, gesture, and movements. So his focus was that how is it that communication takes place through these aspects of non-verbal communication. It is a study of facial expressions, postures, gestures. Did you know that while in Argentina, to raise a fist in the air with knuckles pointing outwards expresses victory? There's a lot of force when this is done. So this is expressing victory. But in Lebanon, raising a closed fist is considered rude. So two different cultures have two ways of understanding at one aspect. Of understanding one aspect. So ideally, what do we focus on? Expressions, postures, gestures. So, kinesics is the interpretation of body, motion, communication. When we talk of kinesics, for example, clenching the fists can also be an expression of nervousness. So, now we move ahead when we are discussing kinesics in detail. Drawing heavily on descriptive linguistics, Birdwhistell, an anthropologist, argued that all movements of the body have meaning. That is, they are not accidental, and that these nonverbal forms of language or paralanguage have a grammar that can be analyzed in similar terms to spoken language. So what did Birdwhistell feel? That nonverbal communication is not accidental. That means whatever we express is because of what we feel, and it is shown by default in terms of our gestures, postures, and expressions. Now, what are linguistics? It is a non-verbal element in speech. When I say a non-verbal element in speech, for example, intonation. What is intonation? It is used to describe the attitude and emotions of a speaker. What do we mean by this? It means what The source or sender expresses or communicates or conveys in the message to the observer or the receiver. That means, along with the message, what are you conveying? You probably could convey emotions. You probably could convey a stoic look. A stoic look, that means ideally no emotions expressed. Thus, a kinem or kinem is similar to a phonem because it consists of a group of movements which are not identical but which may be used interchangeably without affecting social meaning. Now, what do we mean by kinem? A group of movements associated with a meaning. And when we talk of phonem, it is interaction or words. That means all the conversation which takes place. There is interaction and words or usage of words. Kinesics is an important part of non-verbal communication behavior. The movement of the body or separate parts conveys many specific meanings and the interpretations may be culture bound. So, we need to understand that how a person perceives or interprets your non-verbal behavior. It is partially culture bound. It is partially due to our immediate surroundings. It is partially due to our own thought processes, which we have formed due to the immediate environment or the kind of circumstances or situations we go through. As many movements are carried out at a subconscious or at least a low awareness level, kinesics movements carry a significant risk of being misinterpreted, especially in an intercultural communication situation. We've given examples before. For example, the thumbs up sign in one country is considered rude, but in another country, it is as a sign of great, your work is done, or congrats. So, that same sign is perceived by two different cultures in an absolute different manner. A cheerful face or a gloomy face influences most people. A smile ideally is considered one of the most important aspects for facial expressions. When we say a cheerful face, it means that the person is also showing enthusiasm via his facial or her facial expressions. A cheerful or appreciative smile, a displeased frown, a look of surprise, turning of the nose, and many such expressions on the face can convey, with or without words, tons of information about attitude, feelings, and reaction of the communicants. Attitude, what do we mean by attitude? The way you think, feel, and behave. Reactions and responses are largely conveyed through your facial expressions. Continuing with gestures, kinesics, an ode to smile. A smile costs nothing, but offers plenty. It enriches those who receive it without making poorer those who provide it. If we understand this facial expression, you are ideally contributing a lot and giving a lot to somebody whom you can smile to. And it also means that you're making a difference when you make someone smile. It takes only a moment, but the memory of it may last forever. No one is that rich or mighty who can do without it. And none is so poor that he cannot be enriched by it. A smile creates happiness in the schools, fosters goodwill in business, and enhances relationships. Yet it cannot be purchased, begged, borrowed or stolen. For it is something that is of no value to anyone until it is given away. If some people are too tired to give you a smile, please give them one of yours, as none needs a smile so much as one who has no more to give. So it is said that it is extremely important to keep a smile on one's face. Of course, a lot depends on the situations too, depending on where we are. So it reflects on an individual, and as far as business is concerned, it will of course foster better relations, and it'll keep the environment at a level where communication is also effective due to a smile on a person's face. Kinesics, as we continue. When you have a responsibility to deliver a message, your expressions accompany your words and they are being watched. Similarly, you also get listeners' reactions through their facial expressions, which provide you with a continuous feedback. So while I'm talking, it is extremely important for me to understand if the audience is interested, is the audience understanding, is the audience actually able to grasp what is told, is the audience disinterested to an extent, is the audience even aware. So a great extent of information is given in a manner whereby we're aware as to who the target audience is. A lot can depend on how effective the speaker is to hold the attention of the audience. So, if the speaker is effective, then the audience will also have effective facial expressions. Be alert enough to analyze and digest them. Right? At times we may have an audience who might be disinterested, who might be a bit lost, who may have a frown on the face. So we've got to understand and analyze that what could be ideally the reason for the audience to react or respond in this manner. Raised eyebrows convey disbelief or surprise. A frown reflects displeasure. Pursed lips certainly indicate that your talk is not being accepted in a friendly manner. So lots of cues, hints, lots of expressions which can give ideally an individual a clear picture as to what or how is your talk perceived, how are you as an individual perceived, and what are you conveying, and is it effective or ineffective? A smile, on the other hand, is a universal welcome gesture. It clears the atmosphere, believed to release chemical that generates feeling of happiness and bliss. Yes, a smile can resolve a lot of issues. As we said before, of course, depending on where you are, what is the current situation, what is the kind of discussion. For example, if the people in the organization are discussing how to deal with losses, at that juncture, it would make no sense to smile. So, a lot to do as to who are the people around, what is the discussion or conversation all about. And beware of involuntary one-sided smile either on your own face or the other's face. At times, it could just be that you are smiling and the opposite person is not smiling at all. There could be a whole lot of reasons to it. Maybe in general, the person doesn't wish to smile. Maybe the situation is such that the person feels it's no point smiling. Maybe, very often there are people who do not see a reason to smile and have a different facial expression, that means a serious look. It can be sarcasm, derision, and certainly not conducive to good relation. When I say derision, you're kind of making a joke of somebody. You're cracking a joke on somebody. So that is derision. A big warm smile is an asset, but only when it comes a little slower, because then it has more credibility. Slower smile gives your personality a richer, deeper and more sincere cachet status. Cachet here means a state of being respected and admired. So we need to understand that your personality has a lot of non-verbal expressions which you will incorporate while you are talking. And of course, a lot depends on your designation, a lot depends on whom you're interacting with, how you present yourself with the others in terms of a smile, eye contact, gestures, and postures.